Being consistent with exercise seems to be very, very hard for most people, and starting healthy habits according to the research are often not maintained at all. I quote this crazy weight loss lifestyle stat that 85% of people who lose significant weight will regain that weight and add more kilos within 5 years. It's sad, but it's true. And it's the same with exercise. It seems that most live with a start-stop phenomena. But today's guest is Mr. Fitness America, Tony Horton. I love Tony's story because it's so relatable and applicable, and I love this podcast because not only did I learn about some of my own movement lifestyle blind spots, but because it could be the episode that somebody listens to who then changes their movement life and therefore their health and wellness as a whole forever. Tony Horton is the wildly popular creator of the best-selling fitness series P90X and most recently The Power of Four. He sold over $1 billion of fitness programs. Why? Because he really cares and because he really knows. Tony is a world-class motivational speaker and the author of top-selling books Bring It, Crush It, and his latest motivational book, The Big Picture, 11 Laws That Will Change Your Life. My three big takeaways from the show. Number one, why real and lasting change can happen when we commit to health as a lifestyle. Two, why exercising 7 days a week is not at all as insane and excessive as most people think, even at 65 years old. And number three, why looking good on the outside does not mean being healthy on the inside, and why even a super exercise expert like Tony now does regular blood and data audits to always understand where they are at and make smart calculated choices to improve. We have a special discount of 10% off your premium subscription with using the unique code THRIVE10. The link is in the show notes. Today's show is sponsored by BrainTap, one of my daily habits to upgrade my mind. Simply put, it's audio tracks that you listen to that can change your brain state, and you don't need to get the special visor, but that does help. The app contains 1,800 audio tracks that are practical, effective, portable, and affordable. Yes, go to my website to get the link to downloadable app that will optimize your brain waves. If you want more info, then listen to my podcast with neuroscientist Dr. Patrick Porter, who's the founder of BrainTap, episode 128. Please send me your feedback and questions to either connect at mateothrive.co today or on my WhatsApp direct line 064-871-0308. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Steve Stavs, Africa's pro biohacker and health futurist, and this is the Made to Thrive Show. Hello, Made to Thrive Nation. I've got Mr. Fitness, Mr. Exercise. Checked it out, all his programs. He sold over $1 billion in fitness programs and products. It's a real honor and a privilege to have Tony Horton on the show.
Stephen, great to be here.
Brilliant. Now, give us a bit of a backstory and how you got into fitness. And you're an actor, you're an author, you've developed so many programs, you're all over the internet. Brilliant YouTube channel. We'll put a link to that. I think it's incredible. Power of Four app going up now. There, P90, P90X, P92. It's just so many programs, transform millions of lives. But let's look at your humble beginnings as you started training people like Tom Petty and Annie Lennox.
Oh, wow. You've done your research. I appreciate that very much. I was not an athletic kid. My father was. I didn't get much help growing up. I didn't think most of my coaches and mentors and whatnot were a bit abusive back in the 70s. You know, there wasn't a lot of encouragement. Either you were a winner or a loser kind of a vibe, you know, and so it was pretty tough as a child. My father was on the road quite a bit, right? So it was just really my mom and my two sisters. And I would play intramural basketball or some, you know, tennis. I almost made the tennis team, but didn't. I made the football team in high school, but I didn't play very much, you know. But I was a frustrated athlete for sure. And then I went off to the University of Rhode Island. I took a weightlifting course. And, when I was playing football at high school, you didn't lift weights or train or work on, you know, any your flexibility or range of motion or power. It was just, you know, you were either pretty good at it or you weren't, and I wasn't. So when I finally got off to college and I took this weightlifting course, I just fell in love with the process. I fell in love with the coach. The coach was just a gentle soul. I mean, he made us work hard, obviously, but he was just somebody that you really enjoyed spending some time with. And I had never had that experience before where, oh, I'm exercising really hard and I'm pushing the envelope, and the person helping me isn't being a bonehead about it. You know what I mean? So that was pretty nice. And then I came out to California and I fell in love with the culture. It just sort of continued from there. I mean, back in Rhode Island and Connecticut, where I grew up, it was you know, there was a gym at the facility at the high school or college. There were gyms everywhere, and everybody was playing volleyball, and they were skiing and surfing, and they were training hard. And I just started doing that, and then I started training my boss. I was a PA, a production assistant at 20th Century Fox here in Hollywood, and he was noting my transformation, and he said, "Oh man, you look completely different in 3 months. What are you doing?" "I'm going to the gym. You know what I mean? I'm hanging out with Lou Ferrigno is like 20 feet away, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's next to him. And then I go into an aerobics gym, and I was, you know, the room's filled with women. I thought, this is fantastic. This is maybe how I'll meet my wife, you know?" And so I was just adding a lot of variety. I got into martial arts a little bit later, and then cardiovascular strength and HIIT training later than that. And, you know, then I got into the ninja stuff. You know, and then, you know, I shifted away from, you know, your standard weightlifting in 45 minutes on the life cycle. You know what I mean? I was just super curious because I kept noticing that my body was shifting and changing. And then I, you know, my boss introduced me to Tom Petty, you know, who was going on tour, and they were friends from back in the old music days. And Tom called me up, "Hey Tony, I'm fat and I'm going on tour." And my roommate picked up the phone and hung up on him, because why would Tom Petty be calling my house, you know, my little apartment in Santa Monica, California. And then he called back. He thought we got disconnected. And I went to his house the next day. And there it was. The gate opens up, this beautiful driveway, golden platinum records on the wall. And I had him for 4 months. You know, I mean, it wasn't easy. That first month was hard because he had never lifted a weight in his life. He'd never done a push-up. He'd never done any kind of, you know, real martial arts. But I got him a heavy bag. I got him the basics. And he went off on tour. He started ripping the sleeves off his shirts. He started wearing vests with just, you know, just a vest. And like everybody was like, you know, what happened to Tom Petty? I got back, and then Billy Idol called, and then Annie Lennox called, and Stephen Stills called, and then Bruce Springsteen called. And all of a sudden I was training rock and roll. I had Sean Connery and Shirley MacLaine. I had some movie stars too. And folks that people are familiar with maybe now, like Allison Janney and Octavia Spencer and Bryce Dallas Howard. And I was pretty busy. I was all over Hollywood, all over LA, but I was also an actor. And I would, you know, I didn't get very many gigs. I got a couple, you know, modeling jobs and some print ads and some commercials and a couple small parts in movies. And then I just met this guy, Carl Deichler, introduced by a friend. And it was just another job. I did this thing. We did this thing called Great Body Guaranteed, and it did really well. Then we did something called Power 90. And then I got to move out of my apartment after 21 years because the royalty checks were coming in. And then we did something called P90X. And then, boom, my life changed quite dramatically.
Brilliant. Now, what I've looked in terms of your story is you have the ability to almost transform anyone physically and mentally now with mindset coming in and spending a lot of time with meditation. And we're going to get into your Ramsey Hunt, you know, syndrome. And I've treated more facial pain and temporomandibular disorder and headaches than probably most people in Africa. So I've got a good understanding there. And I want to get a bit of a backstory, and here I've lectured over 10,000 medical professionals worldwide. So I know about Ramsey Hunt and how debilitated it can be. But your story just speaks of transforming millions of lives and motivating people who previously were unmotivated to exercise. And, you know, they, you know, carried on exercising for 6 months, then stopped, started a program, stopped, started gym, started a trainer, stopped. But I really want to hear from you with regards to people sustaining transformation, sustaining their exercise and their fitness. What have been some of the keys? And, you know, people listening now saying, "I don't want to be one of those guys who's not consistent. You know, I want to be consistent with my exercise and my fitness."
Well, you know, it comes down to three things as far as I'm concerned. I wrote about it in my last book, Purpose, Planning, and Accountability, right? And then you add a little bit of intensity there in the end, and then you're going to really notice some change. But if you don't have a reason why, you know, as the French say, your raison d'être, like, why are you doing this thing? And I think a lot of people fail because they're doing it for all the wrong reasons. You know, they're doing it for aesthetic reasons. They're doing it because their ego says they should, or they're doing it because it's a trend, or they're doing it because, you know, their spouse is forcing them to do it. So it's got to be something that you really, really want to do. Now, you know, if you're an athlete, obviously there's reasons why you need to train, because you need to be better at what you're doing. You know what I mean? If you're a fitness model, obviously you got to keep up with it. But how many of us are fitness models? You know, the rest of us are moms and dads and regular folks who've graduated from high school and college, and we've got a busy life and a job and kids and work. So, you know, I want to look better. But yeah, like you say, it's there's a stop-start issue here with so many people, and it becomes very, very frustrating. It has to become really, to me, in my opinion, priority number one. Like, everything else has to kind of move down the list. And if you plan it, you know, for example, in about 50 minutes, there's going to be about six guys here at my house, and we're going to get after it because there's going to be six guys here at my house, right? They're going to knock on my door, and I got to go down there and do it. You know what I mean? And so maybe you don't have that kind of accountability. Maybe you don't have those people in your life, but they're around. Maybe they're in the internet. Maybe they're in your neighborhood. Maybe they're at work. Maybe they're not in your own home. Maybe your wife or your kids don't want to participate, but you've got to find a crew. Now, there's a lot of people who get up in the middle, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning before they go to work, go down in their basement and it's 50 degrees Fahrenheit and they somehow do an hour and a half yoga. I bow to your greatness. You know, I mean, there's those people who just have that, who are self-motivated. I've been doing this for 35 years and I'm not, it's hard for me to train by myself, you know? So that accountability is really, really, really important. And, mm-hmm. and your reason why is I train because I'm a skier and I'm a ninja athlete and I like to climb and I like to ride my mountain bike. So, you know, those athletic activities outside of training almost force me to be consistent because I want to come in year after year after year and be able to perform at a high level. For some people, maybe it's just because you want to feel good. You understand that when you exercise, whether it's yoga or HIIT training or body weight training or weightlifting or cardio, you're going to release norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is going to affect who you are today. I mean, it's miracle growth for your brain. I mean, John Rady writes about it in his book, Spark. So do a lot of other, you know, people like yourself. So, if your reason why is because you want to improve the quality of your life, if you want to be a better parent, if you want to feel good today, if you want to be able to improve your range of motion, you know, and be able to move more quickly as you get older, you want to improve your balance. These are, you know, reasons why I train. And last but not least is your plan. Like, what are you going to do and what time are you going to do it? Like, you know, when I first started doing this, I had a calendar, I had a desk calendar, and I would write down, you know, most people can do it on their phone now, right? But just, you have to tell the world, this is what I'm going to do, and this is when I'm going to do it. So please don't schedule anything else that will get in the way of this thing that I know that I need to do 5 to 7 days a week. Now, 7 days a week, what is he out of his mind? Well, you go to work all the time, you sleep all the time, you eat all the time, you breathe 24 hours. There's all these things that we already do to survive on this earth. But I think most of us would like to thrive. And oh, by the way, a decent diet, some mindfulness, maybe some supplementations and some regular exercise is really going to change who you are. Now, as a 65-year-old, I don't know what that's supposed to feel like. I've got a lot of peers from high school and college, and I see them and I go, You look and act like my grandparents. What happens? You know what I mean? Like, and they look at me like I'm some sort of anomaly. I just do these things on a regular basis because I understand that eventually I'm going to retire. And then when I do, I want to be able to ski hard. I want to climb hard. I want to, you know, I want to get on my bike on the Appian Way and outside of Rome and go, you know, I mean, and so when people can figure that out, and by the way, you can't lead, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but they got to want to be there. You know what I mean? And so purpose, plan, and accountability, and you add some intensity so that you can see improvements over time. You know, if you read my book, you know, The Big Picture, you'd learn all that too. So
brilliant. But I'm finding the new generation and just people out there, I don't know if it's post-COVID, I've been in practice 24 years, that they're lacking purpose, very depressed, a lot of anxiety, just apathetic. I mean, these people are difficult to motivate. Sometimes they got hormonal dysregulation. They're bleeding with regards to their biochemistry. They need that sort of looked at before they can even think about consistently exercising. It just seems like you managed with all your programs to, I don't know, is it the humor? Is it the acting? Is it the embracing of human essence to motivate people to bring a bit of fun and bring a bit of sort of your own interest into it so that people can continue to exercise?
I think my delivery system is a little atypical compared to a lot of trainers. A lot of trainers are pretty serious folks, you know what I mean? And they act like drill sergeants or therapists. And you know, I mean, P90X, if you look at it at the time, and it probably still is, it's ranked one of the hardest routines, you know, it's 6 days a week of, you know, an hour and a half yoga and full on plyometrics and, you know, core synergistics, which has a lot of proprioceptive elements to it. And my thing was, you know, what can you create to avoid the boredom and the injuries and the plateaus that usually come from people? That's it. Those are the big three. Like, oh, I'm bored, I quit. Oh, I'm injured, I quit. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm not seeing results anymore, I quit. You know what I mean? And so we came up with this term. It's a made up term. It's not anything scientific. It's called muscle confusion. You know, Jack LaLanne back in the day had something called periodization training. It's just keeping people on their toes, right? Working on your weaknesses as much as your strengths. And so for me, when I started doing yoga, I just noticed I was horrible at it. I hated that I was horrible at it initially. And then I went, oh, look, think of the learning curve here for me. This is going to be my, I thought I was flexible. I guess I'm not, you know what I mean? I didn't know, you know, Baddha Konasana from Shavasana, you know what I mean? And I thought, this is fabulous. I'm just going to go in there and be a dummy, you know what I mean? And learn from it. And then I had a friend of mine that would do a regular track routine where we're doing hundreds and 200s and three, you know, and half miles. And it was, there was a 45 minute warm-up process. Like, why are we spending so much? Yeah, because your hamstrings are going to go, right? If you don't warm these legs up, if you're going to try to run, you know, not as fast as you can, but pretty darn fast. And I just loved learning over and over and over again. And that variety for me is what kept me in the game, kept me getting stronger. You know, I never got bored. It's going to be martial arts today. Okay, that's something different. And so I brought that element and humor and my comedic background and my acting background. And I gave people options. It wasn't like there's option A, option B, and option C. Like there's me in the front. There's three people behind. Pick somebody behind me that feels like you. And you're going to watch them struggle, right? You're going to see them, you know, bitch and complain. It's the real world here. We're not trying to, you know, make it all pretty and pristine because it doesn't seem accessible that way. And that's, I think that was, like, how could you make hard fitness that hard, enjoyable, and that was our little combination, and I still how I train today. I still do the same thing.
It's pretty powerful, but I mean, two attributes that I see from you, Tony, is one, you're curious, you know, so you wanted to carry on learning, and the second is humility. If you're not humble to say, actually, I can be the dummy in the room, I can be the person who can't do the yoga stretch, I can't be the person that can't breathe. You know, I've been breathing through my mouth for so long, just learned in my 60s to breathe through my nose. I mean, you've got to stay curious to keep on learning, and you've got to stay humble to say, listen, I actually be a person that's not good at this activity.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. It's okay to fail. Failing is learning. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I've got a lot of friends that say, oh man, I can't. Really? Just throw the word yet at the end of that sentence and you're going to be just fine. That means you're opening up a window that you can finally get through. But I can't means I've closed the door. Mm-hmm. And that means there's nowhere else to go. And that means you're going to be stuck. And then you're going to go through the boredom, injuries, and plateaus again. You know what I mean? And so, you know, it's funny. And this is all trial and error for me. And a lot of it applied to myself, you know, because I mean, I was the C-minus student with a speech impediment, right? There was, you know, I go, my friends, when I was in my late 30s, that I'm living in a two-bedroom apartment in Santa Monica where my car just got broken into, and they're all married with nice houses and kids. Like, man, Horton, what, you think he's going to turn out okay? You know what I mean? But I was just chipping away. Half of these books are all personal development, from Deepak Chopra to Oprah, to Gary Zukav, to Andrew Weil. They're all back there, man. And I would just take little snippets.
Ryan Holiday.
Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. I mean, you know, a lot of M. Scott Peck, you know, from the old days. I was a big M. Scott Peck guy. And I would just go, that applies to me. I've got to start trying this. I mean, the reason why I'm sitting here is because one of the books that I read, at the end of the chapter, it said, go out of your way and do something extraordinary for somebody that you don't even like. What? I didn't like to do nice things for people I like, so this is going to be hard. And I went out of my way and I offered a workout to a guy that I knew didn't like me. And I thought for sure he's going to say no, but he said yes. And a year later, he introduces me to Carl Dyker, who became the CEO of Beachbody. I'm like, what? So I do really nice things for people I don't necessarily like all the time. And by the way, the outcome sometimes is zip, zero, nada. You know what I mean? And that's okay. But the feeling I get inside from just being kind, for just reaching out, just, you know, hey, let me pay for that for you. Whatever, it just feels nice. You know, I mean, personal development ain't about me after a while. It's about how you can be a high quality person and help others. My purpose has always been to help other people find their purpose through fitness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So check that box, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, but it starts with a love of learning. Tony, was this from your parents? Was this just something that you developed? I mean, people, you know, I've got people that don't read at all. They don't even read personal development books. They won't do programs. They won't try anything. The average person out there is sort of sitting in a status quo. How do you instill that or imbue that into people to say, you need to carry on learning? I mean, I've done over 29,000 sessions of Prolo therapy, over 10,000 sessions of platelet-rich plasma. I know you've had PRP in your knee. And folk often, they're unaware of their body firstly, and they don't want to carry on learning. To say, well, you know what? I used to do 100 push-ups a day. Something's not looking good. Something's not feeling good. I'm not in good shape. My sleep's been affected. Maybe I need to change and I need to learn something else. So how do you instill that love of learning and awareness?
Well, a lot of, I have these, they're not podcasts or masterminds. And I have a, you know, twice a month, I have these masterminds where several hundred people will get on just like you and I, right? And you see all the happy, shiny faces. And then, you know, there'll usually be some sort of a theme. It'll be something simple. You know what I mean? And, but to me, it just seems, you know, a lot of these topics that I cover for me are something that I've been doing for 20, 30 years. And a lot of them are something I've only learned in the last couple of months. And I just like to get on and disseminate, you know what I mean? Just say, hey, you guys and gals, raise your hand if you're struggling. Raise your hand if you're not sleeping well. Raise your hand if you're not consistent with your exercise. Well, you know, here's one or two things. See if you can do it for 2 weeks. Just give it to, don't think about a year from now. Don't think about what you're going to look like in 90 days. Just turn all that off. Turn off your ego. How about this? Let's all keep our expectations down. You know what I mean? Like if you're, when your expectations are through the roof and it doesn't turn out the way you want on the date that you expect it to happen. Oh, damn. See, I'm not supposed to be fit and healthy and happy. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Let's just do these 2 weeks and check in, you know what I mean? In 2 weeks. And by the way, like I said before, you know, you can lead a horse to water. You know, a lot of people will say, hey, man, I finally figured this thing out. And I've been fit for like 5 years. You know what I mean? A couple here and there, I gain a few pounds, but I get right back on it. It's because that person hung with me or some other guru or mentor or teacher for a certain period of time and started applying these things on a regular basis. Right. And then they'll go, God, I can't get my brother. I can't get my mother. I go, of course you can't, because they have to want it like you want it at a certain point, right? And they're your flesh and blood. They're your best friend, and you just see them falling apart, right? You can live by example. You could do that. I mean, you know, with my wife, she was a model forever. She was, you know, 5'9" and 109 pounds and miserable because she's living on salads and the elliptical every day, and you know, she was doing it for her job. But as soon as her job started, it's like the heck with it, right? And then when she met me, you know, she didn't necessarily adhere to my philosophy. And I'm her husband. I'm not her dad. I'm not her coach. I'm not a mentor. So I left her alone. I didn't initially, which didn't work out very well for me. You know what I mean? Like, so I was giving advice I shouldn't have been given. But and then, you know, it's funny. She's coming into her own now. Like, it has taken her time. Why? Because she just sees people coming and going in the house all the time. And she had back problems and some serious injuries that caused, you know, caused some long-term effects that needed surgery and rehab. And it's fun to see her make her way now. So, you know, I guess the point I'm trying to make is you got to leave people alone. I can't help everybody. You know what I mean? I can only do what I can do, but I'm still like, what's this latest paper that I can, maybe there's something in here that I can apply to one of my conversations with folks, you know? I mean, there's people who walk down my street who are like, oh, hey, I'm taking out the garbage. Oh, my God, you're on Total. Oh, my God, P90X. And then half of them I invite to the house. And, you know, they become friends, like this guy who's an FBI agent here in L.A. just walking his dog and taking his daughter on a hike. And he came up and said hello. And I said, hey, come to a plyo session on Wednesday. And he showed up here every day for 5 days before he got stationed in London. But, you know, it's just I just hate to see people struggle. I hate to see people. You know, like the stuff that they're going on about isn't true. You know what I mean? Because they don't have the right information to kind of turn off that noise. Yeah. And once I can help them, like, you know, sometimes it's just, and that's for me, like, I'm always sort of sitting down and writing, oh, what's a new way to motivate? What's a new way to inspire? What's a new way to educate? Much like yourself. I mean, you know, you've done so much for so many people. Yeah. And I just steal from everything behind me. You know what I mean?
Hi, Made to Thrive Nation. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you haven't already, please rate and review the show, as this helps me get this cutting-edge health info into more people's minds and hearts. Also, I'm building a radical health community on Instagram and LinkedIn, so I would so appreciate your support, and send me a DM with any feedback or advice. My handle is Steve Stavs. Thanks again, and now back to the show. That's what humanity is. You know, you learn from someone else, you learn from here, you learn from there, you build it, you add your own twist, you learn. Life teaches a few things. I mean, that's just part of the parcel, man. We all stand on the shoulders of many other people before us, you know, and I don't think we come through with too many original things, only things we possibly adapt. But that's cool, Tony. It looks like you live and breathe the stuff with your neighbors, the people that are walking dogs, and that's incredible. I do want to talk about your history of your Ramsey Hunt at a stage, but I want you to take you possibly and look at my example. I've been a long distance runner for 28 years, run over 40,000 kilometers. And there's a big race called the Comrades Marathon here in South Africa, 56 miles. And I love my running, but and I stopped before COVID. The last race was in 2019, 2020 didn't happen, 2021 didn't happen. And I got into functional training. I'd always done a little bit of training, Tony, and I loved it. And I was once a week in the gym, but I was 6 days, you know, on the road, and it was good, but I didn't realize how depleted I was until I stopped the running and started doing training. I put some size on, put about 7 kgs of lean muscle mass. But the problem that I have now with a lot of the training that I'm doing is I don't get the endorphin release like I do when I'm running. And when I start running and increasing my kilometers every week, it starts depleting my cortisol. I start getting a little bit more adrenal fatigue. My testosterone starts going down. I'm probably, in terms of my biochemistry, being the best that I've ever been. I've lost a lot of fat and I'm at about 9-10% body fat. But what would you say to someone like myself who's lacking those endorphins, but as soon as I pop up the running, the long distance, things start breaking down and I lose muscle mass and testosterone and those things?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, we'll probably talk about it at some point, but, you know, Dr. Mindy Pels and I created a new program called PowerSync 60, and it's really for women, but men too. I have a men's schedule and Mindy helped with a women's schedule. And a lot of it has to do with that people are doing the wrong things on the wrong days, you know, especially for women. And a lot of guys are overtraining or they're too myopic about their training. You know what I mean? Like they won't jump into the yoga class. They know nothing about mindfulness. Like mindfulness is for them, which is perfectly fine. It's just, you know, turning Led Zeppelin up loud for about 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Which to me is very mindful. I got to tell you, it just takes my mind off of the stuff that's making me crazy. And I can be very present. I can be very in the moment. And so, you know, I think the endorphin high is something that once you've experienced that once or twice, and you've only had a particular type of fitness to get you there, then it's hard. It's like you always want to go back to it. But again, like you said, cortisol levels through the roof, your adrenal glands are fried. You know what I mean? So there's something, you've got to find some kind of balance. You've got to find an alternative. And, you know, maybe it's something like dancing. Maybe it's something like, you know, breath work. You know, I mean, when I had Ramsey Hunt syndrome, all the king's horses and all the king's men, they tried, but the recovery time was going to be what it was going to be. You know what I mean? I could go to rehab and I could take all these meds and I could go, you know, spend some time with the otorhinolaryngologist. But it really was, you know, Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, Full Catastrophe Living, saved my life. It was just learning to be quiet and learning to be still and learning to be, you know, to work on various forms, whether it was body scan meditation or box breathing or whatever it was. And it was brutal. It was hard, especially when you're so sick. You know what I mean? Oh, I have to be really still here and breathe and try to clear my mind. All I want to do is just sob. You know what I mean? Because the pain is so bad. So you have to kind of jump through some fire, you know, before you find some salvation sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's what it did for me. For me, it's the camaraderie part of it that you know, gets my endorphins up, because it's not like we're super competitive. We're mildly competitive. And there's a lot of humor and laughter and stories and stuff in the mix. You know what I mean? Like the guys that are coming today, one's a movie star, two are TV stars. They're all actors and comedians, you know what I mean, here at the house. And it's competitive a little bit, right? So, and we do a lot of stuff timed. You know, we do a lot of HIIT training where we're, you know what I mean? We have an endless rope. We're like, we're going for a minute, you know what I mean? Having these little kind of competitions and those kind of things can kind of help sometimes. But if you're just, you know, in your typical routine and your typical rut, doing the same things you used to do because you used to work for you in high school and you can't figure out why you're fried and why you're getting weaker and why your joints are killing you and you got to use PRP everywhere to kind of recover, it's because maybe you're not foam rolling. Maybe you're not getting in the Epsom salt bath. Maybe you're not getting a decent massage. Maybe you're not in the infrared sauna. You know, there's all kinds of ways to sort of help your body recover so that when you introduce new things, you know, new types of fitness, you're not trashed and exhausted. You know, your adrenal glands are, everything is working. Good. So I don't know.
You speak a lot about community.
Because I know you love to run, man.
Yeah.
But it's a love-hate relationship. Because we're not getting any younger, right?
Yeah.
So there's got to be a mindfulness component. There's got nutrition and supplementation is really too. It's like this. That's the magic too on top that helps.
But maybe it's the community, Tony, you got strong in community, strong in that connection. People are always coming in and out of your house and you know a lot of people, and there's a lot of probably banter and laughter, a little bit of that's not in my life, you know. I mean, the supplementation, the nutritional stuff, I'm pretty tight on. I'm always open and curious, but it just seems possibly that you got a bit more fun and a bit more laughter, and maybe I'm a little bit too serious and I've got to relook at it. But thank you for that piece of advice. I appreciate that.
It's worth giving it a try. I mean, I have a cousin of mine. He was on his own, and he was really had great discipline, but he was miserable. I go, dude, invite somebody over. You know, and now he's got this crew and he's loving it. Like, that's all it took for him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's so cool. So tell us a bit about Ramsey Hunt. What's fascinating is often suffering is the seed of transformation, and, you know, looking at these things, and sometimes we don't want to go through these hard things, but often they're a gift and they're good for us because they either slow us down or relook or become more aware. And someone so fit, someone so strong. Tell us where you were in your life. I know you went through a lot of business distress, and then this happened, and Tom Petty's death, and you know, the shootings. And so give us a bit of a backstory and then what Ramsey Hunt is for people who don't know.
Well, Ramsey Hunt is if you've ever had shingles, that virus is in there, and usually it's stress that brings it out. And I was going through a lot of stress. It's an autoimmune thing. I mean, there's Epstein-Barr attached to it and all kinds of different stuff, so what was happening was Tom Petty passes away almost the same day after the Vegas shooting, where a lot of people, I had friends of mine that were at the Vegas shooting, and just, I mean, they didn't get hit, but they were, people next to them were dying left and right. I mean, it was just, I was so, I don't know. I just couldn't believe that sort of thing is happening in our world these days. And then Tom dies the next day. I trained Tom for 32 years. I mean, he was a friend. I got him ready for the tour that he was on that had just finished. And I had no idea he was abusing himself like he was. I wish his management had told me, and then maybe I would have had some influence on him a little bit, you know, because we were very close after all those years. And then, you know, the big kahuna really was the fact that, you know, Beachbody after 20 years just decided that they didn't need me anymore. So they didn't want to pay me anymore. So negotiations were going very, very badly. And when you have a pretty steady gig and your life is pretty good and you're riding that nice wave and it comes to shore, you know, I was angry. I was bitter and I was pissed off. Like, you guys are, you know, what are you doing? And by the way, since then, you know, they've struggled. Right. So whatever, their choice. I'm still bitter, I guess, but it was too much, man. And the people around me, like my sister came to town and said to my wife, what's with him? You know, because everything was making me like this. You know what I'm saying? And so adrenal glands, man, toast, cortisol levels through the roof. And that shingles virus, you know, reared its head in my ear. And so that's about the last place you want shingles. I mean, shingles are pretty brutal everywhere, whether on the back of your neck, or your forehead, or wherever, across your chest. They can pop up anywhere. But mine affected all the nerves inside of my brain that affect my balance, vision, taste, and smell. So, I mean, the worst was the balance part, right? That just, I was like a drunken sailor on a cruise ship all the time, which made me just incredibly sick. And the Epstein Barr was a 12, right? So I couldn't get out of bed. I was vomiting all the time. And this went on for months and months. So I lost about 27 pounds and I couldn't get out of bed. Couldn't work out, couldn't do anything. I mean, everything came to a screeching halt for me. All my work, all my live events, just cancel. So it was very debilitating and very depressing. And you know, I spent a lot of time in my wife's lap just sobbing. And the one, you know, then you go, you get the prognosis. And I had Bell's palsy, you know, so I couldn't. You know, everything was through a straw because I couldn't, and my eye wouldn't close. So I'm wearing a patch, like, what is happening to me? You know what I mean? And, you know, you go to the doctor and you go, and a lot of people who get Ramsey Hunt syndrome, who get Bell's palsy, the Bell's palsy never goes away. And I mean, I went, do you know what I do for a living? This is going to make things really difficult for me. And thank God, after about a month, it started to dissipate. It went away from me. But it was one of the hardest lessons of my life. And like I said, you know, all the specialists could only do so much. It just had to take its course. And it was about a year. It was about a year before I could do anything. I remember having a gig in Las Vegas, and I'm walking into the casino. And one thing about in the vision stuff, in the was still like bright lights and dark rooms and flashing lights, these types of things were just brutal for me. I had to use my carry-on luggage as a walking cane to get through the casino to go to my room. You know what I mean? And I struggled, and I still do. I still have something called bilateral vestibular hypofunction, which is a form of vertigo, but it just feels like this inside of your head. You know what I mean? Like standing on one foot for me still is very difficult. I mean, thank God I need 2 feet to ski, so I can still ski like a wild man. Thank God. And so that humbles a guy, you know. I was like, oh, okay, stress. I know what stress does. So I meditate in the morning. I meditate at night. I meditate in the car. I meditate sitting on the John. I mean, I meditate anywhere I can. And whenever I feel that anxiety or pressure coming, oh, it's time for me to breathe. And I might, you know, or, you know, like I'll just lay on the floor and do body scan. I'll just start from the top and work my way down and go back up and take deep breaths and feel whatever light I needed. And box breathing has been there's all kinds of different kinds of meditation, but I'll do 4x4, 7x7, 12x12. You know what I mean? I do tons of ohms. I don't have to do yoga to do an ohm. And just the vibration and the sound. I mean, I could just, you know, I'll do rolling ohms over and over and over again for 15 minutes. And I feel like I smoked weed. Having heard that smoking weed feels like that, I don't know. So I'm a different guy now. I mean, it's like you said, it's a blessing. I mean, it's really helped me to be more in the moment, find more joy, find more happiness. And when bad things happen, you know, I go, okay, instead of just going crazy, I go, I got to give myself some time to process it. And then I start focusing on the solution almost immediately, really, where before I would lament too much, you know. Yeah. And
learning, it's growing.
Yeah, it's helped me a lot. It was tough, but I came out the other side a better man.
Brilliant. Now, what I saw with a lot of my patients and clients in COVID was the person that was real strong and ripped and in the gym and, you know, athletic, looked great from the outside and really struggled. And, you know, we had some deaths, you know, in our community, and other people got really hit really hard, 3 months of ICU. It's a real problem. Everybody looked at this, you know, and said, ah, COVID's, you know, super dangerous. Look what's happened. And this person's super healthy. But under the hood and just looking at sort of the biochemistry and looking at the autonomic nervous system, a lot of these people were pushing way too hard and just didn't look after themselves. Wasn't enough recovery, you know, didn't respect their sleep. And so from your perspective and what happened to you is, do you think there was a way that you just were unaware of what was happening to you from a stress perspective that you sort of just pushed aside with everything that was happening in your life? Or were you not I know you had functional medicine doctors that did like gut resets. Do you think someone would have picked something up, a practitioner, maybe looking at your heart rate variability? A lot of these guys that look so good, they have really poor heart rate variability, not recovering enough, just pushing too hard emotionally, mentally, physically. You know, my first question is, do you think you could have avoided this if you're aware? And then secondly, what about all those people that look good on the outside, but internally, it's not such a good story?
I was one of those for sure. You know, I wasn't dealing with anything that I was going through. I mean, I remember I had a plyo session here at my house on a Wednesday night, and I was just barking at everybody. You know, I mean, everybody was kind of chatting and dogging it. You know, and typically I would say, all right, everybody, come on. Let's go. Let's gather together. We don't want this thing to turn into a 2-hour session. Let's get going. Especially when 14, 15 people show up. You know what I mean? Oh, I haven't seen each other in a week. And usually most of the time I'd be pretty cool about it, because I remember the days of when my coaches were barking at me and how it just stressed me out, and it didn't help my performance at all. And I lost it on these folks. You know what I mean? It was right in the middle of Tom Petty had died the day before. The shooting was the day before that. And it looked like I wasn't going to be working for this company anymore. You know what I mean? And I just lost it. And that lingered for weeks, you know, little bouts of anger, and then finding some sort of way to, you know, calm down. I just didn't have that information in me. And I think the same thing happened to a lot of people. A friend of mine is a long distance runner, like 500 miles and, you know, the Death Valley run. We start in the Death Valley, you run all the way up to Mount Whitney. I mean, this guy, my friend Rami, Gondor is just a beast. And he got COVID and he got, you're like, this guy, resting heart rate of 38, you know what I mean? And just ripped and lean and super clean. And he had his own business. And this was that guy on top of the world. And he got COVID and he got destroyed. And he said, Tony, I got this. This is no joke. You know, I'm, you know, and I think he's still suffering a little bit today. He's not a, got a mild, mild case of long COVID. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was just, like you say, he was just running himself into the ground. And he ran his own business. And that was stress there too. So, you know, and a lot of people, like, I mean, I get regular blood work every 6 months now, you know what I mean? And I look at what's going on. And, you know, when I came out of Ramsey Hunt, I met with a specialist, sort of a nutritionist, endocrinologist, and, you know, 134 pages of every food on this earth, in conjunction with the meditation I was doing and the mindfulness work that I was doing and learning how to let the pendulum swing in both directions for the first time in my life. But when I got this, when I got the information back, no wheat, no soy, no corn, no dairy, bang, 3 months, no sesame seeds, no tomatoes, no cashews, you know what I mean? No onions, like, wow. You know what I mean? No, and basically it was a super strict vegan diet. Just to clean up my leaky gut. I had leaky gut and leaky brain and Ramsey, and vestibular hypofunction and, Epstein-Barr. Like who knew, but I was, you know, I was getting by on willpower, but my body and brain were breaking down. And I got that list. I started to do the mindfulness stuff and my knees didn't hurt anymore. My shoulder didn't hurt anymore. Like I don't need PRP in my knees anymore. I haven't needed PRP for 4 years. Because of what I put in my mouth, because of how I take deep breaths, I guess that seems to be what I needed, you know. It's trippy, man. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's kind of amazing that you know, and that's just fine tuning. You know, like if some people will do some things, oh, foam rolling, that's the solution for everything. No, it'll help a little. Like the infrared sauna, that's all I needed. Well. Maybe an ice bath. That'll be it. I just need to get cold 3 minutes a day. You know what I mean? Like maybe for some of us, it's all of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? But most people just don't want to. I'm in the gym, man. What else do I got to do? You know what I mean? Yeah, but I'm only getting 6.5 hours of shitty sleep. Oh, really? You know what I mean? So it's you know, guys like you and I are curious, and we don't like feeling bad. This isn't quite right. What do I need to do? Who do I need to call? What book do I need to read? What seminar do we need to do? Like what Zoom call with a specialist? What thing do I need to buy? This I could bring into my life. That's who we are. But most people are like, hey man, I just want to train and go to work and deal with my kids. And unfortunately for a lot of people, it's overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. You just bring in little pieces. And if you bring in little pieces and you notice a change, great. If you don't notice a change, then it doesn't apply to you. Then it's time to try something else. Mm-hmm. And guys like you and I and a lot of other coaches, trainers, teachers, mentors, you know, we have to stay on top of this stuff. You know, I have a mindfulness list of 10 things. Like whenever I'm feeling off, I'll just go, that one. You know what I mean? And I'll tell everybody, no more emails, no more phone calls. Let me just get in my cold plunge. That's what I need right now.
Do you track heart rate variability? I found it very beneficial and getting people's baselines. I mean, I've just been overseas to see my parents in Cyprus and my HRV improved by 50%. My sleep numbers improved by 30%. You know, I think the data centric, and I'm not saying being orthorexic where you know, obsessed with the data, but at least what it does is it gives you some feedback. I mean, your wife, your partner can give you feedback. Often my wife says to me, listen, go for a run, forget about going to the gym and train. You need to get outside. You need to run 10Ks and come back and you're a different person. It's just as simple as it is. But that feedback from our loved ones, the feedback from our community, and I've learned a lot from you, Tony, in terms of community and seeing people and being accountable to people, engaging people and making the laughter and the fun. I take that from your story and I want to try and bring it more into my own life and to my patients' lives and to other people, because I think what you've done is you've created community and interconnectedness. People on devices the whole time. They're looking down like this. I mean, we've got this brilliant African word called Sawubona, which means not hello like people translate it. It says, I see you. I see you, Tony. I see you for who you are, where you're at, and we're going to do this together. So what about HRV or any data points that you think people listening now, you know, who are going to watch this on YouTube, say, listen, follow these data points or make sure you get this type of feedback?
Yeah, I think the most feedback people ever get is they get on the scale. That's it. They look down at the number and go, okay, that's all I need to know. You know, I mean, I do a lot of electroimpedance stuff. I have one of those fancy scales that does that, tells me what my body fat percentage is, what my water is, protein, muscle mass, you know, all those different kinds of things. And I think you're right. It's important not to get addicted to that kind of thing, because you're so number centric that if you don't like, if you look down and you go, I've done everything right, and I look down and you like the numbers, oh, I'm frustrated again. It can be something that can help you get better. It can also help you stop doing what you're doing because you're frustrated by what you see. So, you know, and the feedback from other, I mean, feedback like I can do more push-ups, that's a good thing. I can do more pull-ups, that's a good thing. My 5K or 10K, my time is better. You know, that's great feedback, because that's feedback that relates to what you're physically doing with your body, right? If you're training really hard and you notice that your 10K time is worse, you're like, you get down on the floor and you can't do the same amount of push-ups as you did a couple of weeks ago. Then maybe there's all the other things, all that recovery stuff that we're talking about. You're probably overtraining, or you're probably not getting enough sleep, or you're probably dehydrated, or you're probably stressed out and your adrenal glands are through the roof. You know what I mean? And so that's where the data is important. But if you get obsessed by it, then it can become very frustrating and kind of ruin the journey a little bit, you know? And getting back to commune. Most people that I know are hanging out with the same people they hung out with when they were kids. And they're not, people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s are not making new friends in general. It just isn't a thing. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, well, that has no value. Like, just, you know, like, just like, I was on a podcast in town. This is the Brotherly Love podcast, the Lawrence brothers, Joey, Matt, and Andy. And we just had a blast. I said, come on over for a workout. And they did. And they've been here. They'll be here this morning. You know what I mean? And then they're meeting my friends. And so at first it's like, who are these guys and what's going on? And don't we have too many people here in the room? You know what I mean? But I'll figure, I could have 10 people downstairs in my gym and I'll figure out how everybody's moving all the time. You know, yeah. I'm pretty good at that. So, and now they're making these interesting connections. Like, hey man, don't you know a sound guy that can help me on this project? You know what I mean? And that, like, the bigger your tribe, then the more interesting your life is, the more adventure you're going to have, the cooler conversations. Like, you know, a friend of mine did that. He ended up going from a screenwriter and a lawyer to being starting a nonprofit, and he's helped 183,000 orphans from around the world because he had a conversation with somebody that was, talk to this person, changed his whole life. And then what happens is we get, you know, the blinders get on, and then we have the same friends, and our friends start dying off, and then our spouse dies, and then we're just sad. And then we're not doing anything, and we're staring, we're watching TV, you know, 12 hours a day. So that's it. I think that creates new situations, new challenges, more opportunities, more adventure. So, man, just find your tribe, man. Yeah, I mean, good. Tribe is part of my book. It's one of my 11 laws. It's huge. Yeah.
Brilliant. Talk about the Power of Four, your new program. I think it's crucially important. I know you've done with Dr. Mindy as well, another one coming through. I think it's, you know, frighteningly important for people to just, like, adopt, especially as your one gets older. And I think I'd also like to hear about the future of, you know, fitness and health. You know, you've just developed this product and sounds like it's going pretty well, but give us your rundown there.
Well, during the pandemic, you know, I mean, everything shut down. I was doing, you know, workouts like this, like we all had our little laptops in the gym, and, you know, and whenever somebody did come over, we're all wearing masks, which made that kind of brutal. And everybody, my fan base was like, you know, they didn't know that I had left Beachbody. A lot of them didn't know. And they were all waiting for P90X4. Right. So I had to say, hey, I'm not with them anymore. I can't do it. And then my wife and I just said, well, what, we should just do free workouts 3 days a week online. So I did yoga. I did a yoga session, usually about an hour and 15 minutes every Saturday morning. Sean and I had a Wednesday afternoon dance party. And then I would do plyo. Yoga on Saturday. We have our dance party on Friday night. And then I would do plyo live on Wednesdays. And then we thought, well, let's just start recording some of these so people can have them. And that way I don't have to do them live all the time. And then, you know, we've built this little library, and a lot of them were pretty lame. I mean, the lighting was horrible and the sound was terrible, and we're wearing masks. So let's invite people over. But no,
okay, everybody, now we're going to be doing some side lunges.
I mean, that's just terrible. And so finally, as the pandemic kind of cooled down for a bit, I said, hey, we just said, let's bring some people into the house and shoot this thing. And we had beta one. Beta one went for like month one, month two, month three, month four, month five, kept going. And then we had beta two that kept going. And we kept accumulating all these routines. I had like 47 routines. And so we said, hey, let's call it the power of four, because we can't call it P90X4 because Beachbody will come after me. So the power of four, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, you know, it's nutrition, it's supplementation, it's mindfulness and fitness. That's the four legs that I live on for the most part. If you get that thing under control, then you're going to be doing pretty well. So that's what we created, the power of four. And then we thought, hey, we've got all these great trainers. Let's bring Tasha Danvers in. She's a three-time Olympian who won bronze at Beijing. She's brilliant and funny and amazing. Let's bring in, my friend Brian Palatucci, Michael Bradley, all these great trainers. Put them on the platform. And then I had a call like this, just like this, with Dr. Mindy Pels. I didn't know her at all. And we started talking about, you know, women's hormonal imbalances. And she was saying, when I did P90X, I loved it, but I knew that based on my hormonal fluctuations, you know, that I had to change the order. Like I couldn't do yoga on yoga day. I couldn't do chest and back. So I just moved things around based on how, you know, whether my estrogen or my testosterone peaked or valleyed. And she goes, my results were off the chain. And I was starting to share that with other people. I was like, well, that's interesting. And she goes, yeah, I've written several books about it. You know, Fast Like a Girl, her last book mentions how to train based on all these different fluctuations. And so my wife said, we have to do a program with her. And she even said to me, she goes, if I would love to do a program one day that can be for both men and women, but the women's calendar, the women's routines would have to fluctuate and change based on menopausal, premenopausal, and postmenopausal women. I'm like, what? And again, I'm the curious guy. I'm like, well, that's stupid. You just, women need to just train harder. I mean, P90X needed to be P120X and then they get results. And for some women that worked, but for a lot of women, P90X was so frustrating because they were fried. It's because based on what was happening to their hormones, they were doing the wrong things on the wrong day. Guys, testosterone, let's go. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why they got the results that they got if they were consistent. So this was an amazing conversation, an absolute eye opener. And so we sat down and we looked at what they needed to be. And we created these stop options for gals and for guys too. And typically in a 50-minute routine, if you wanted to, very specifically, you can stop now. This is all you can manage. This is all you can do. You know what I mean? And for a lot of gals that are, you know, perimenopausal, this is, you have to stop here. We want you to, because we want you to be able to come back strong the next day. And then we had two of them, typically the stop options. And then we also had these things called powering down and powering up. So because of the hormonal fluctuations on this day, on this month, you got to go mellow. You just got to tone everything down. There's somebody in the back here that's not going full bore. That's who you follow. And then when you get into day 17 or day 22, the same routine is going to be done completely differently. You're going to go right past all the stop options. So Mindy did all the work, you know what I mean? Like creating all these combinations, where to use the stop option, where to power up, where to power down. And the guys, you know, here are your 11 workouts. Here's your 2 months, go. You know what I mean? And it was amazing to learn all this. And no one else was doing it. And it was just, you know, it was kismet, man. It was just one of these powerful meetings with somebody who really knew what she was doing. And I just sat back and sat in the meetings. And I was, you know, I was gobsmacked at what I was learning. And we've had two beta groups. One had about 110 people. The other one had 90 something. And the testimonials are a 71-year-old woman lost 15 pounds. She was, you know, trying to lose five. It's like, I didn't even feel like I was. Like all these powering down and stop options, I felt like I was cheating, but I did what Mindy told me to do. And the result, I mean, we've been on these calls when people are sobbing, getting results for the first time. I mean, I know I sound like I'm selling the thing, but I mean, it was pure science, you know, so it was pure tested stuff. And it's been a fun ride. It's fun to see a lot of gals, especially who are baby boomers like me, getting results for the first time. Yeah. It's fun.
Well done. And I mean, hormones are so important in terms of our, you know, just a recovery in terms of our strength, in terms of our training, how hard we push. I mean, people don't realize it. But I wanted to ask you, just as we come to the close, about testosterone. If you just the low levels that I'm seeing, I mean, I've been doing functional medicine 17 years. We've seen young teenage boys with like man boobs really struggling with testosterone levels. In fact, there's been a 50% decrease in testosterone over the last at least 20 years. people don't realize that women have actually more testosterone in their bodies than, you know, estrogen. So they've got 20 times more testosterone than estrogen in their bodies. People have no clue about that. So their baseline levels have dropped significantly. That's causing a significant issue. You know, how important is hormonal testing and where people are with regards to their hormonal age? Because, you know, I say, you know, your hormonal age goes down and then you age. You don't age and then your hormones go down. It's the other way around. So what are your views on testosterone and just the supplementation that you give, or if you use peptides, or what are your biohacks there?
Well, personally, I don't do anything. I mean, I created my own protein powder post just to get some weight on. I met with this great organization, and they just sat with me and they looked at all my, that 134 page, you know, food testing, blood test work that I did. And they, you know, and then, I mean, I learned that I had leaky gut, and I learned that I had leaky brain, and I learned that I had Epstein-Barr, and, you know, I had sort of an accelerated version of sarcopenia, which is, you know, age-related muscle loss. And, you know, when it comes to the hormones, a lot of it is just, a lot of it's stress-related. Like, you're right. We're sitting around too much. Our heads are in our phones and laptops. And, you know, there's a lot of external forces that create stress, physical, mental, and emotional stress, which, you know, can definitely screw with your, with, you know, your hormones and other aspects of how well your body functions. I mean, there were 15 gals that were in our test group that did this program. They were training completely different than they ever had in the past. And they all started bleeding on the same day. Like, what? I mean, and they hadn't, and these are 15 gals that hadn't bled in a year. Like, that's how screwed up their systems were. So, you know, that's, and if you're not getting blood work, and you're not, you know, you don't have any kind of a stress management, and you don't know what to do on what days to do it, then yeah, you'll have aches and pains. You'll have just all kinds of adrenal fatigue, and you won't have the desire and energy and motivation to really stick with it, you know? And, you know, as far as testosterone in men, I mean, like when I get my blood work, they'll go, okay, how are you supplementing testosterone? And I go, I'm not. It's 875. I mean, I got a reading of 1,020, like about 4 years ago in my early 60s. And I go, man, I've got this HMB and vitamin D3, and I've got this high quality protein. And this is, I'm a vegan, right? So, I mean, I'll cheat once in a while. I'm in Jackson Hole and there's elk medallions on the menu. I'm going to eat them, man. Yeah, it's wild salmon. I'm going to eat the wild salmon. So I'm not super, like, when it comes to my diet, I eat whole foods. I cheat only once in a while. And I'm not stressed out about what's going in my mouth all the time. I just eat really healthy stuff and I don't eat unhealthy stuff. And most of the time it's vegan, but sometimes it's not. Like, yeah, that's it. And that seems to work for me. And I share that with people and go, oh, wow. Like, I don't have to be a strict vegan. I don't have to be strict paleo. I don't have to be strict. No. I mean, you know, there's feast and famine. Like, sometimes you're supposed to fast, right? You're supposed to fast for 12 hours or a day or 36 hours. Sometimes, you know, you just killed the wildebeest. Eat the damn thing. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that seems to be, that's just my present thing. I mean, when I get into diet with folks, of course, it becomes all kinds of issues. But, you know, when it comes to for men purely, there's a lot of foods that men aren't eating that can help, that have certain amounts of protein and can actually raise their testosterone. Like grapefruit, who knew? You know what I mean? There's all kinds of foods out there that you know, that if you add them and you're keeping your stress down and you're powering down on certain days instead of going for it every time, because that's what you did when you played football. You know what I mean? It's learning to adjust. It's learning to listen. It's learning to talk to experts. And by the way, what works for all your friends might not work for you. Yeah. So don't get all attached to, you know, what the trend is, that kind of thing. So you just got to stay curious. And, you know, like, I mean, in my book, I have this 24-hour test and it says, you know, on a 1 to 10 scale, energy wise, fatigue wise, like you can write it down. Like right now I can say I'm a 9. I'm just feeling good and feeling flexible and everything else. And then, like, how am I supposed to regulate nighttime? Well, you could take a guess. You know what I mean? 3 o'clock in the morning, did you wake up and have to pee? You know what I mean? Did you wake up ready to go? Or did you wake up feeling like you got hit by a truck? And so, especially during the day, if you're writing down 8, 9s, and 10s for a week, then you're doing everything right. You don't have to make any adjustments. But if you're wasted, then you're going to have to make some serious changes. And okay, listen, well, folks like you and me, hopefully.
Thanks, Tony. Where can people connect with you and check out your programs? I want to talk to you afterwards, possibly, or to your team and get some affiliated links in that. I think it'll be important as much as we can promote it in Africa. And we've got some real challenges, like I said to you, with power problems and issues and finances and in a third world country. But I think everybody needs to move as much as they can. It's movement, it's exercise, I've learned a lot about variety from you. You're a ninja star now, and you've got obstacle courses, and you're doing this, and you're a skier. And I think it's really about what you enjoy. Make sure that you enjoy the exercise. Vary it up as much as you can, which I'm too traditional, and I've got to change there. But that's cool. We got to carry on learning. We're all along this journey. But where can people connect with you and your programs?
Well, in general, if you want to just kind of find me what I'm up to, there's a bunch of tabs that tell you, I have fitness equipment and I have my supplements and everything else. You can go to TonyHortonLife.com. That's TonyHortonLife.com. And if you want to know more about PowerSync 60 and the Power of Four, it's PowerNationFitness.com, PowerNationFitness.com. And then my supplement line, which saved my life, and it still does. I mean, two shakes a day, and Foundation Four, which is a product that I created for my gut health, is MyPowerLife.com. So yeah, that's enough.
Brilliant.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, yeah. Whatever,
Okay. We'll get those links from your team, but I want to declare favor and blessing over you, and just actually that you would rise with much courage and stay curious and keep adapting. And thank you for your zeal, your zest. For those listening, you've got to go and check out Tony Horton. He's 65. It looks like he's about 45, similar to my age. This guy is incredible. He's got a skin range, so you guys can check that. He's flexing his biceps. Absolutely amazing. It is possible. He is the anomaly. You don't have to accept the way most 65-year-olds look like. That's for sure. And so thank you for your time, Tony. I really, really appreciate your calling. It's people like you that inspire and empower us to carry on doing what we're doing and influence as many people as we can.
Steve, absolute pleasure today, man. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Great meeting you, my friend.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Made to Thrive show. New episodes are released weekly and are published exclusively on the Made to Thrive podcast link. If you're interested in receiving more thriving insights, as well as receiving other exclusive member benefits, visit madetothrive.co.za/subscribe. This podcast is for general information purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of healthcare professionals for any such conditions.